Hey, I got a question.
Yes.
Have y'all heard of the cat gap?
No.
Is this a wage gap for cats?
No, this is a thing that I discovered on Twitter today. This is from Twitter user Al Hendify, whose display name is David Attenborough. And the cat gap
Quality.
is a period in the fossil record of approximately 25 million to 18.5 million years ago, in which there are few fossils of cats or cat-like species found in North America, and nobody knows why. And there's this whole thread full of theories, like the cats ventured off to the edge of the world in this time so they could knock things off it, or they were possibly sleeping. Or cats just lived for 6.5 million years at that time. But my favorite one comes from Luelli, which says, "My hypothesis is that during this period, cats were primarily canopy animals. This is known as the ceiling cat of the cat gap hypothesis." Anyway, that's my favorite thing I've learned in a long time.
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
The
I
idea
love
that
the
they were mo
notion that cats are so fuck you, that ancient cats now are soft, and ancient cats were so fuck you that they ground their own bones to dust. Fuck you, we're not going in your fucking museums.
Methuselah cats that lived 7 million years.
So this thread started with somebody doing the image of a paleontologist out there shaking a treat bag, like, pss, 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 trying to find cat fossils.
To the shutdown full cast.
For some reason, it looks so much funnier when Spencer doesn't have a mic connected to his, like, a mic headset for some reason.
And this
It
is
just
just
looks even more like
countertops.
you're just yelling.
Just yelling
I
in
like
a room.
this so much better when we're not in the same state. Can you record out of state every week for me?
Yes. I don't know if you can hear, there's a leaf blower outside this room. Just a beautiful, no, great, a leaf blower. Because at every point in America, there
Hey,
must be a
bud.
leaf blower.
Sup, bud?
Yeah, blowing somewhere within 15 feet of you at all times.
We can't hear Bud's leaf blower over you, so.
Okay.
Oh,
Indeed. Welcome, leaf blower. Turnabout is fair play.
Spencer, where are you?
I am currently in Franklin, Tennessee,
Ryan, would you like to
visiting
tell
family.
Spencer what your daughter said about Nashville?
Oh yeah. So I forget how this came up. We were talking about flags in the car with my daughter, and she was like, "Oh, I know what the United States flag looks like," and she describes it accurately. And she says, "And I know what the Tennessee flag looks like," and she also describes it accurately. And then I say, "I don't know what Nashville's city flag looks like. Like, I assume it has one, but I couldn't tell you anything about what it looks like." And I'm just sort of wondering this aloud. And she says, "Oh, I know that one too." And she pauses and she says, "It's orange and it's got a big white T in the middle of it." So Vanderbilt marketing is going fucking great here in Nashville.
BFL, baby.
Just do it. Just the idea that, like, the idea that they would just assume the entire state is a bold move by Josh Heupel and his regime at Tennessee.
That's not new. Calm down.
I do think if you ran for mayor of Nashville solely on the platform of "I will make a Vols car flag the city flag," you would win. You would win handily.
Maybe a Braves car flag. Might edge that out.
The Brave Balls combo, right? Like, for
It's
instance,
one
if
on
you
e
wanted.
yeah, on each side, depending on which side you're looking at it. It's a Braves flag on one side and it's a Vols flag
A
on the
house,
other
just
side.
a house divided, Braves Vols flag.
That's
House
right.
undivided.
That's right.
Or if you wanted to launch an overpriced outdoors brand, if you just took the Auburn Braves axis, the Braves burn axis, and put it together and made a sticker that was like, "Braves burn coolers, only $9,000. Then be like, "I need five right now. Right now. Sorry, tithing's gonna have to wait." I gotta have that cooler. My beverage
It'll
ain't
keep
cool
my
enough.
My beverages need to stay cool during my stint with Sea Org.
My beverages need to be near absolute zero. When I drink them, they should freeze my innards and leave me a cold husk of what was once a man.
I don't think of husks as being cold. Thank you, Spencer, for putting that out there.
Bravesburg coolers leave you a cold husk of what
I want.
You
a, I want a
were.
Cooler that's only hospitable to beverages and tardigrades. Nothing else.
I'm so glad we're back to tardigrades.
I am Spencer Hall. This is the internet's only college football podcast. It's what you're listening to right now. Joining me, as always, closer than ever. We'll just go in reverse order this time. Ryan Nanny in Nashville, Tennessee. Jason Hi. Kirk joining us from Environ somewhere in Georgia. And Holly Anderson joining us from Atlanta.
Reverse order of
yes.
what?
That was reverse alphabetical order. Usually we go. Additionally, we
I love the word. The use of usually uh-huh. is amazing. Uh-huh.
You know, the regular systems I have going in my head that I've never told anyone about would horrify yeah. all of you.
Yeah, like lay out all holy shit, we're coming up on 10 years that we've been doing this shit. But lay out all those episodes and see if you can find a single rhyme or a single reason as to whether we even introduce ourselves at all.
Mm-hmm. My wife's boyfriend Steve.
I can't line. Help it. I can't help it that I am muscle confusion the person, okay?
Spencer Hall, Ryan hum something tunefully real quick, or Server hum something mournful. Spencer Hall was born without a body clock. You can help him and others like him by sending us $7,000 or God will call him home. Please.
When? Tuesday at 3? Maybe Thursday at 9? He won't know.
Call it the 7,000 Club, an invention of my own devising.
Am I the only person that's shocked that he finished the intro after all that time? Like, it was a solid 2.5 to 3 minutes. So I was like, damn, my man is on fire.
No. Here's the thing about Spencer is, like, once the thought's in his head, it's staying. Like Spencer will be like, so as we said 90 minutes ago, I just want to finish that thought. Right.
He does this in real life, too, and I find that the best method to deal with it is with a squirt bottle, like a cat. Because he will, you know, you'll be watching the British reality dating show Love Island, and he'll turn around and he'll say, so the structural engineers were pretty sure that, and you're like, what? and he just looks at you like, the building of the Hoover Dam. Like, it's the dumbest question you've ever asked. But I think he was born to podcast because he's never needed another person to have a conversation. The rest of us are extraneous. It's beautiful. Also, it's his birthday.
He's like a tab left open, just waiting
for you. A week from today. He is. He's that tab left open that's playing sound.
Yeah. I saw a train, and I want to tell you about it. I will listen to you talk about other things, but ultimately, we will return to the cool train I just saw.
We're not really listening. We're just taking, at best, we're taking turns. I'm going to give you 90 seconds on trains, and then 8 minutes to tell me about a cool dog you saw.
On a train.
Yes. Speaking of, we do actually have.
Nope. Stop.
There's actual college
football. No, because I said I was going to derail you, and Holly said train, and that made me think of derailment.
But if the trains themselves Negative. Are the derailment, have we in fact
it's
derailed at all?
It's not about trains, though. It's not about trains.
But trains provided the impetus.
Here's
I love the outlet that we give Ryan to completely blow up the show because in real life he is the one keeping us all on task.
Here is my thing. How is it that every president we had of the first, like, let's say 20, how is it that most of them escaped assassination considering how embarrassingly easy it was to kill a president? Like, all of the pre-Kennedy assassinations followed the same model. I walked up to him and I shot him super close.
I have a one-word hyphenate answer. Want to.
Is that it? Because I think
the pioneers had no initiative.
But all you... That's
no,
often,
no, no, no. Listen,
often
they got. Yeah. Listen, you participate in the land race. You've gone out and stolen a swath of Oklahoma from indigenous tribes, and you've built a shanty that may get you and your 13 children through the winter. I'm not going all the way back to Washington. I'm tired.
But then you get syphilis, like you get syphilis and go insane, and that's what gives you the like.
But you can get syphilis anywhere.
Teddy Roosevelt was almost assassinated, not when he was president, when he was running for president again after he was out of office, by a guy who had a dream that William McKinley came to him in a dream and was like, "Avenge me," and pointed at Teddy Roosevelt. That was the whole reason he tried to shoot him.
And he did it for Jodie Foster.
And he did it
dumber,
for Jodie.
There have been dumber reasons to shoot people this week.
The guy who tried to kill Andrew Jackson waited for him at the Capitol.
The hero who tried to kill Andrew Jackson.
He waited for him at the Capitol with two guns, both of which misfired, and that's the only reason why he didn't kill Andrew Jackson. Like, all you needed was one motivated person.
History
with
is written.
A gun, not even a good gun.
History is written by the victors, and I think the actual reason nobody managed to kill Andrew Jackson was because there was a line out the door at all times, and it just clogged up the entrance.
They just couldn't get in the room.
Yeah,
but
I have two theories. One, George Washington was a big guy, and legend spread of his size, and people had it in their heads for like 100 years that presidents are big, until Abe Lincoln said, "No, I could have beat George Washington's ass," and then they're
That's
like, "Oh, presidents
Lincoln
can be
fact.
Defeated. I will, in fact, try to defeat Lincoln," and that proved successful. My other is that those presidents were in fact assassinated; they were simply replaced, like Paul McCartney or who are the other ones that people have this? Was Katy Perry? Is Katy Perry a clone? I don't know.
Sure,
like it's just
1%
of every celebrity.
Yeah,
Gucci Mane was cloned in prison, yes.
Was Lincoln the first built different president? I'm talking about the speech he gave, or the quote he gave in which he said that he could have wrestled George. He basically called George Washington a panty waste.
Right.
Yeah, he said George Washington is a rich preppy. And
from Virginia.
Us backwoods Illinois folk would have no problem.
Dunking
with
on Virginia, by the way, a fine American tradition going back 200 years.
The other reason why I think it was so easy to assassinate a president back in the day was you didn't even need to get a good shot. Like, if you – I think it was – I want to say it was – well, I forget who it was, so I'm not going to fuck this up. But, like, if you just got a wound, chances are that, like, sepsis or the doctors treating the president like a fucking toddler at a sensory table would cause infection that would lead to the death of the dude anyway. Like, you didn't have to be like, oh man, fucking right in the brain.
You know, they took the wrong approach, because a gun was faulty, but a bucket full of water would have done it in 1850 if you had just thrown unfiltered, unclean water on somebody, right?
The Wizard of Oz assassination.
Just like dunk somebody in milk.
Yeah, just hit them with some unpasteurized milk, right? They'll die of the shits.
Right.
That really should have been it, right? Like, my work is done here.
I threw a thimble of vinegar at the president, and he said, "So spicy," and he evaporated.
or they were also drunk. If you just like fed them a glass of water, right? Just handed them a glass of water, they'd be like, "What is this?"
So when Teddy Roosevelt got shot by an assassin, the bullet was mostly slowed by a glasses case and a big speech he had, like, in his jacket pocket. And so he decided...
Saved by blogging.
He decided... That's true. And this is why it's even more bloggy of him. He decided to give the speech, like an 84-minute speech, while blood was seeping through his shirt before seeking medical attention. Because
But, like, multiple presidents did that kind of shit. There was the one who, like, I forget which one, during his inauguration, he caught some horrendous disease and just...
William Henry Harrison remained
online for hours and then died.
Yeah.
Yes. Perfect president, by the way, in that he gave a very long speech and then immediately died.
Went out doing what he loved.
Exactly. The most useful president ever. What did you do? I took office and then I died and handed it off to someone else.
Wasn't it 15 degrees and he refused to wear an overcoat and give an hour and a half speech?
So there are some who say that this is not actually why he died. And I think we've talked about it on the show, and that it was actually like the sewer lines in the White House were so backed up and terrible that he got like gaseous dysentery, more or less.
Well, there was no sewer line. It was an open sewer next to the White House.
Yes, that's what it was.
It was just a poop field.
Today we call it the Capitol building.
Because we've always been a great country. The Capitol was located next to an enormous human night soil field. Okay?
So maybe that's why people didn't try to go kill the president. They were like, oh, you got to get through poop field to get to him. It's impossible.
The part of it is like, why bother? The country we've built will take care of it for, you know, like, why travel all the way to Virginia? That's like, in those days, it's like a 78-day journey.
Yeah, let
just
me take a
just
tour.
Assume the poop caverns will do it for you.
Mm. Yeah, it was just I like that after Lincoln, there was no thought of like, oh boy, we should really not just let anybody walk up to the president. You're like, one bad apple. Why should we change the policy because of one asshole actor? That's not fair to everybody else.
You just want to go back in time, though, when you read about assassination attempts on other presidents that didn't work. Somebody attempted to or had a plot to assassinate William Howard Taft, and you just want to roll up to him and be like, bro, not worth it. Not like, just don't. He's not going to do anything. He's one of those long string of presidents who just like from like 1918 to like 1932. They're just not going to do anything. Don't shoot any of them.
So let me amend this thing. I am surprised
Herbert Hoover people would like a word, but James Polk made it part of his campaign.
I am surprised more people in history.
If somebody had shot Wilson, I think we'd have a statue of him by now.
Mm-hmm. I think there was an assassination attempt against Wilson in Argentina, but it was like a convoluted.
No,
like, we're gonna bomb his train. Was that Hoover?
It was Hoover, and it was the wildest plot. It was an assassination plot by, again, nothing but the finest plots here, anarchists. Remember, anarchists in the early part of the 20th century, huge on train assassinations. They're like, when's a man most vulnerable? You're like, when he's surrounded by a train.
But as of now, taken down by what? Paperwork. Mm-hmm.
That's
their constant,
right.
consistent throughout history downfall, no project managers.
It's kind of fucked up that anarchists were like the ones who are like, no, we need an organized plan. It's like, nah, man, just fucking go buck wild.
Yeah, anarchists love meetings.
Just go punch the president really hard in the stomach and he'll probably die like King Hippo.
I still love the I also appreciate anarchists for what's the best way to kill a Russian czar? Apply explosives directly to him. Mm-hmm. That's it. Apply, like, don't wait. Put explosives right on the czar, and that will erase the czar.
That was an early infomercial.
Yeah, just apply. Yeah,
apply directly to the boar head.
Yeah. Just put it right there. That's probably the best way to kill someone.
That's why they're so good at Goldeneye. That's why they're so good at Goldeneye. They get it.
Or OG proximity mine barons.
Okay,
who
wait.
Who doesn't love anarchists?
You know the Channel 6 things we just did about whether it's scientifically possible to knock somebody out by punching them in the butt?
Yeah.
How many presidents do you think could have been killed by one punch delivered at any
John
point
Adams.
During their... Well, yeah.
But how many... He would have made a good noise.
Even Abigail Adams thought John Adams was a pussy. But and Abigail Adams was the fucking worst. But like delivered at any point during their term in office, how many presidents do you think could have been killed with one punch?
I'm going to start listing them, all right?
They just all seem so brittle.
Give me five. Just give me five.
All right. My five. John Adams, without question.
Both Adamses are one. Adams are one and two, both of them.
Yes, John Adams. Warren G. Harding, because I think something was just loose in there anyway, mm-mm. right? With all the,
no,
all
I got to dispute that hard.
All the syphilis and the liquor. I think if you just hit him, something was going to pop anyway, right?
Okay.
Okay, I'm going to say James Buchanan. James Buchanan, definitely someone that you could kill with a punch to the gut. I think Franklin Pierce. Just seems like all of those like pre-Civil War guys, a good punch to the gut probably would have put him down. Millard Fillmore, because, again, I just assume he was one of those guys who had gout and pleurisy and every other sort of confused disease that was
just
something else.
Just a cyst of a man.
Yeah, like, if you hit him, it would just pop a cyst full of, like, sour milk somewhere in his body. Yeah, toxins. The toxin sack. You just hit him. And, right? And he'd be like, well, man, how did you expect? A man named Millard is probably, like,
oh, no, I have
anyway.
Super appendicitis! Shit!
This man is an Elden Ring boss.
John Tyler looks like he's just made out of puff pastry. Like, he looks like his skin is like a croquembouche made
President
into a man.
President Philo.
I will also say Chester A. Arthur, even though with padding, I think Chester A. Arthur with, like, he just looks kind of gouty. He looks like a guy that you could probably take down. I think you could probably line up Grover Cleveland against a tree and punch his stomach for an hour in a row, and he would just be like, I could do this all day.
I think that's Grant as well. Like, he's not even aware that you've punched him.
I maintain that Harding is unkillable by any number of pharmacological or physical means, but the one I think you're really sleeping on here is Benjamin Harrison.
Yeah, yeah, 100%.
Because this is a time, think about this time at the, this is right before the dawn of the 20th century, right? And, you know, cars are becoming a thing, and electricity in homes is becoming a thing, and technology is outpacing at this point the care that people are taking about themselves. You know, I bet he was slipping in the hygiene department.
Here's why I think
industrialization made people cocky.
There's only one phrase you need from Warren G. Harding's Wikipedia page to prove that Holly is right. Mm. Harding lived in rural Ohio all his life.
The end.
The list of things he was exposed to is slim.
Everything I know about Warren Harding, I learned from the 2012 biography by D.J. Burns, the most hated on untold story of Warren G. Harding.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Where
Which I think you can still get on the internet somewhere.
In his completely factual retelling of the story, D.J. Burns includes things like Warren G. Harding's galactic cocaine habit. What is galactic cocaine? It's super cocaine from outer space. Uh-huh. It's a great book. I would also point this out. There's one other person I would tag on as definitely killable with a punch to the stomach, and I would go back in time to do it while screaming anarchy just to confirm his worst opinions and suspicions. It is Woodrow Wilson. Okay? Would I do this after Woodrow Wilson had a stroke? Yes. Yes, I would. Crippled in his bed. Plant that sucker right on his navel.
No, play the ball as it lies, man.
Yeah, sorry. Should have been prepared. Should have been ready.
It is shocking, given how easy it was to shoot a president, it is shocking that more presidents weren't punched in office. Like, just out on the street somewhere. Because there had to be somebody who'd be like, oh, I want to fucking punch that guy so bad.
The Prime Minister of Australia still gets it. To this day. I think about 10 years ago, the former PM of Australia was like, actually clocked in the face by a guy who, when arrested and asked why, said, I've been waiting to do that for years. Guy was just walking down the street without a security detail, and random Aussie just absolutely,
you know, with a little
guy.
With a little massaging, this is an inspirational LinkedIn post.
It's important.
It's not
okay.
That
this is where we go back to haters upworthy. It's like, live your dreams, colon. This man had a plan, and he saw it through.
I think every president should probably be punched once a year or so. They need to be reconnected to real America.
We
spend a lot of money on, you know, amenities for these folks. Mm-hmm. Just make a holiday of it. Do it on July 4th. I don't care. Do it on Christmas.
You know what you can serve at home while we're watching this on television? Punch.
Who gets to do it?
And how do we it? Yeah, one.
I think it should just be Felder, but that's me.
Listen,
MMA heavyweight champion Francis Ngannou. That's who gets to do it.
I like the national lottery idea.
Yeah, yeah, I like that. Then it's, you know, just some. It's like Cincinnati being named emperor for a day.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Just one hero steps forth. Maybe it's a child, and then we can all laugh. But still, that child's working out some frustrations on the president.
Also, that child, automatic TikTok star after this. Automatic, no question.
Mm-hmm.
I can just see, though, once we find out who that person is, the six-week prep period is going to get insane.
Oh, Joe Rogan's going to be like, come train with me immediately.
It's like the next day. The Air Force One flies to your house, and the president steps onto your yard.
This is the Stamp Petty Jubilee.
The punch happens within 3 hours of selection.
Yeah,
I know how this is going to go.
Oh, yeah, they bring the president to you. I like that.
Yeah, on your trip.
Like Publisher's Clearinghouse style.
Most Americans are really servile and immediately defer to authority. So it will begin as an informal tradition of, like, the gentle slap. And then in, like, year six, they're going to get, like, you know, Steve. And Steve's going to be like, bro, I'm laying him out. I'm putting him down. I was like, no, the ceremonial slap. He's like, no. He's getting the full beef. All of it.
I'm going to break a rib. You watch.
Bro.
I do like if it's stipulated that it's a punch in the stomach, the Secret Service is like, here's the line. If you go above that line, you will be vaporized.
But even
between the belt and ribs.
Even that is a way to go, right? Because what if you get like a terminal cancer patient? It's like, how'd he die, man? Oh, he was shot by the Secret Service after he nut punched the president.
Yeah.
It's how he would have wanted to go.
He said so. It's in his will.
Yeah. He's just sitting there like, yeah, his internet history was full of Boz Rutten liver punch how to.
Hey, what if you made this like make a wish, but for grown ups?
Yeah. What do you want to do? I want to just absolutely hit the shit out of the president. That's my goal.
Listen, I said this since before he had a podcast, so I get to be first in line, but I want to drop Joe Rogan into a vat of live crabs by pushing a large button that says crab vat.
Dare him not to, and then I bet he will.
That's first of all, that sounds like Fear Factor. So, Joe, take your own medicine. Sorry,
I'm
I said the
you,
word medicine, Joe.
I've had this in the holster for a while.
So you guys all have claws. It's wild.
Crazy. Have you ever done? Have you ever had an experience with ayahuasca?
Oh, I love that for you. Ow! Ow,
so you're,
bro.
So you're saying my face as you're eating it is giving you a masculine fortitude.
That's really
interesting.
You're all gonna, because I've read about this in ancient texts, that you're all gonna lose your shell, but then you get it back. That's insane.
Crazy, Joe Rogan's plummet is tragic to me because as a regular on news radio, he named my fantasy football team. When somebody comes and looks over his shoulder and his character is watching a video and they're like, alien autopsy bloopers, and he turns around again in character or not. He goes, no, you don't understand. They're authentic alien autopsy bloopers. Simpler times, man.
Yeah, man.
Speaking
so anyway,
of simpler
next,
times.
Yeah, Cowboy Cerrone coming up next. Okay, first, a word from Fleshlight. Fleshlight, day one sponsor. Like, of all of the things, I do like, you don't got to give it to him, but dude repping Fleshlight for like 13 straight years.
Fleshlight does
got
to give
sponsor.
It to you. That's like Fleshlight's whole thing.
Yeah, that is its purpose.
If they don't. If they don't, you leave them a 1-star review and you're entitled to a refund, probably.
Like, where did a sponsor absolutely nail the core audience day one on a show?
Fleshlight talk shit about the Chargers.
Fleshlight will nail the core audience.
So wait, is home field our Fleshlight?
Yes.
In so many ways.
To say the most horrifying sentence I have ever heard, Ryan. They absolutely are.
It envelops us.
Yes. Podcast business. It's a business. Podcast business. What a business. Podcast business. We're gonna plug stuff.
Shit.
Are you clapping on 1 and 3 while you sing podcast business?
I started to get off and then I just gave up.
I think it was fairly resilient because it 3 or 4 of us were clapping on all sorts of numbers to try and throw you off.
I think it was clapping on like 1 and 7 and a quarter. Or something.
I was trying to get him to 2 and 4. It wasn't
clapping on the 9s and 10s.
Anyway, we do this for a living.
We do. It is true. On my end, Channel 6, the newsletter, as always, you can subscribe $10 a month for 2 things a week. We've recently, discussed conference expansion, but also Holly's obsession with tank gardening and the amazing engineering that went into it. Yes, range, y'all, range. You can find the link in my Twitter bio. It is at Channel 6, and it's good. You should subscribe to it. I do. It's great.
I'm going to write this week about finding an EDSBS reader who has access to forklifts. And how we moved my garden across town because I'm a crazy person.
I thought you were going to say it's Floyd.
Yeah. Also, I'm going to be writing about.
No, he's just the inspiration.
I'm going to be writing about Shorzy, the greatest comedy that you should watch, which
it's a perfect television program.
Perfect television program. 6 episodes. Very short. Very profane. Everything you want in life.
So Holly and Spencer have a tremendous newsletter, Channel 6, which you should subscribe to, two things a week. I have one that provides two things a year. It's currently jasonkirk.fyi is the best URL I could acquire. And also, I wanted to note that the many thousands of you who, within the past 2 years, have purchased The Sinful Seven, the ebook that Spencer and I did with Alex Kirshner, Richard Johnson, and Tyson Whiting. If you would like to leave a Goodreads review of that book, that would be highly appreciated. I'm verified on Goodreads, not on Twitter, so Goodreads is a superior social network anyway. Twitter took away my check.
I'm excited to see the Goodreads community get a load of what reviews for this cohort usually look like.
I have a quick announcement. I am considering buying splitzoneduoshirt.com. Because every time when they do a home field read, Alex is like, hey, what happens when you Google Split Zone Duo shirt? And it's like, it goes, not anymore, fuckface.
Oh, wow. We're doing it. We're doing it. What should we redirect it to?
To a Fullcast shirt.
Yeah.
Yeah, redirect it to preownedairboats.com, yeah. Our website where you can buy better merch than those nerds at Split Zone Duo. Hey, okay, yeah. I got something that's been on my heart for a second. Is business concluded? Mm-hmm. Okay, yeah. I just finished watching the Obi-Wan show, which convinced me of nothing other than the Empire has always had better design sensibilities and not much else. What kind of dress shoes is Darth Vader wearing under that?
Well, he doesn't have legs, so I guess he can wear whatever he wants, right?
I figured they were knee-high boots, but I swear to God, under his swirly robes on the volcano planet in this one, it looks like he's wearing, like, wingtips.
Like he's got sock stirrups on?
Kinda?
This is the portion of his dark apprenticeship where he's getting his MBA. People don't talk about that.
Yeah, Jedi, like this, all Birkenstocks and big wool socks.
This is my legless torso in its flat front Mack Weldon pants.
Those are definitely like food service anti-slip shoes.
Yeah,
they're shinier. They're shinier than that.
They got they come Darth in all Vader's shapes and sizes. Got the shoes for cruise.
Yes, thank you.
I don't know, man. I wore those for years, and these don't look like... Maybe I didn't work in fancy enough restaurants, but these don't look like any food service shoes that I've ever come across.
We had some high-dollar shit at the Fresh Market back in the day.
Mm.
I kept these from my cater waiter time.
I'd like to remember who I am. I don't know why we're doing Bane voice for some reason.
That's the voice that I did along with Vecna during the entire Stranger Things finale, because he just keeps reading to me as a dad who's trying to get work done, and all these kids keep coming into his office and trying to kill him.
Spencer relates to that.
All the goddamn time. Right now, actually. Right now, as we speak.
I own splitzoneduoshirt.com now.
Yes!
So. Take that, nerds.
Should have spent some of that sweet Patreon money, Kirsch.
Idiots.
See, cyberbullying gets a bad rap.
You've been outsmarted by the morons. So what does that make you?
We should. Hey, wait. Redirect it to The Athletic.
Or to the NFL hat. Can you just redirect it to that hat that just says NFL?
Rob Lowe.
Oh, I forgot to tell you, I own one of those hats now.
How did... What?
Someone bought it for me.
Okay, I will, in fact... do we want it to be the nice one? Yeah, we'll
no.
make it the expensive
No, we want
one.
The raw... Wait, is there one with, like, gold braid on it, like an Admiral's NFL hat?
No, there's not one that sort of acquires that level of distinction, unfortunately.
I am an Admiral of the Shield!
You know what's great is... Listen, and I know one of you is going to do this because... Well, one of you is going to do this, but... audience, for the record, don't tell them this. Let's see how long it takes them to listen to this. Because they
who's,
won't.
Who's going to be the first one who figures it out?
It's going to be Alex, because somebody's going to snitch and he won't let it rest. But I would like snitch. To imagine, I'd like to imagine it's Godfrey at 3 a.m. rocking a baby.
I feel like it's Kirshner because he notices things.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it will bother him. And Godfrey, in 4 months, after one of his kids pukes in the middle of the night, that's how he is correct.
Actually, this is great because Alex is an ideal disseminator, because if it bothers him, other people are going to know about it. He's not going to keep it to himself.
And let the one or two nerds who would actually complain about that go like, I can't believe the full cast did that to Split Zone 2.
I've always hated them. We've always hated us too. You're just like us, idiot.
It's that whole little cadre of people who used to email me years after I left EDSBS anytime a fight broke out in the comments. Those people. Y'all know who you are.
We've anime villained them again. I've already copied your counter.
To be clear, though, this is worth it, and we're never giving it back.
And we're going to sell a lot of NFL we're going to sell a lot of NFL logo hats.
We're going to make a lot of money for the NFL.
Now I really do want an Admiral, like that same NFL logo, but with like little loops of gold braid on the top, maybe a little anchor charm.
I want Vietnam veteran style NFL hat.
Yeah, with like little shield-shaped medals.
Yeah, the NFL didn't kill me.
Oh my man, you were at the siege of Kansas City.
Why do you have Buckeye stickers all over your NFL logo hat?
That's the weirdest hat I've ever heard of.
Answer the call, brother.
I love it.
I wanted just a regression of Rob Lowe's, just little Rob Lowe's with the NFL hat on, making up the NFL logo on an NFL hat. Yeah,
that's good.
And Chad Lowe for the CFL.
That's actually what it stands for.
Chad fucking Lowe.
That's Lowe. Eat it, Rob. So, speaking of weird coupling, according to Dennis Dodd, the Big 12 is in deep discussions to add six teams.
Let's start with this. I think. The Big Ten added USC and UCLA.
Wait, hold on. Does Homefield have Ohio State?
Oh, yeah.
Yet?
No, they
does
don't.
Homefield have us? Okay, so I can't guarantee that the shirts will arrive covered in jizz. Okay, moving on.
The Big Ten, which traditionally is Greater Ohio,
contains and has since
decided Greater Ohio extends from New Jersey to Nebraska, mm-hmm. has mm-hmm. now jumped multiple time zones and added USC and UCLA. And I know I realize this headline is a week old as of this recording. And I realize everyone has sort of like moved on to like, wow, that's weird. USC is going to play in Penn State, you know, and all that stuff. And like, oh, Iowa's offense against, you know, West Coast athletes and so forth, so on and so forth. I have yet to move past how fucking far that is. That's it. Mm-hmm. That's where I am. Like we thought it was hilarious and weird when was it Idaho that was in Conference USA or whatever it was. That's my level of comfort with USC and UCLA being in the Big Ten. I have not moved to like thinking about like recruiting and offenses and defenses and all that shit. That's really fucking far.
Also, for those of you who get all your news from this show, just get a glass of water and strap in.
Is it significantly weirder to you, Jason, than like West Virginia being in the Big 12? That to me is the closest possible.
This is like 10 times that. It's, first of all, it's farther, and like West Virginia, you know, if they had been in like weird conferences that mm-hmm. sort of had no geographic whatever,
sure.
And it's like West Virginia is a constant desperation move. Like every realignment decision they make, when they were like begging to be let into the ACC a year ago, and now they're begging for literally anything else. Like
West Virginia is hard to get to from other parts of West Virginia, so that's a weird
sort of
example,
immaterial.
Right? There's no, there's no good. Like Marshall is a haul from West Virginia, right?
And West Virginia has been independent for spans of its history. USC and UCLA have been in the same conference for a century, and now they're in the New Jersey conference. That's far.
I think.
Yeah, go ahead.
I was going to say, don't you mean national conference, Jason? From sea to shining sea.
No. You got to connect the fucking map. If you want to call it national, I need you to add Kansas, New Mexico State, Arizona State, UNLV, so that you have an actual contentious empire.
Longest road.
Yes. You have not. All you have done is planted a fucking outpost with no road connecting it.
Every child, every woman, every man gets the values of the Heartland Big Ten from Jersey to L.A.
Yeah.
I think I'm trying to pronounce what I just wrote.
In Civ terms, this is forward settling, and you know what happens when you do that?
You lose those cities.
Those cities, they flip to the other empire, so it's not going to work. It's so far.
the thing I am stuck on is not the farness, because I guess I just have immediately been like, fine, none of this will make sense. I've accepted it.
I like the word farness.
It's I understand USC, but this is what it is. If you've already said the geography is immaterial, that we're going to go ahead and take the far ass schools that are nowhere near where we are, that have no sort of like loose, you know, when Penn State joined the Big Ten from being an independent, it wasn't like, oh, this is like so different or whatever. But if you're already going to take USC, why UCLA? I don't understand the appeal here at all, because you're not like broadening, you're going to a very narrow part of the West Coast.
You're adding expanding your footprint by like a mile.
you are picking a team that has not had any the Pac-12 doesn't have divisions anymore. They got rid of them last year. But before that, every other team in the Pac-12 South had made the Pac-12 championship more recently than UCLA had. Like, why wouldn't it be Oregon? Why wouldn't it be Washington? Why wouldn't it be Stanford? I don't, like, it seems like you could go and get somebody else more interesting and more appealing. The case for UCLA is baffling to me. And you can, like, listen, I understand that maybe you're saying, like, well, in other sports, it's not about others. Like, this is a football move. If it were about other sports, Jason's argument is the best one, because now you're like, hey, guess what? You all have to travel a million times across the country. Have a great winter.
Yeah, if they gave a shit about other sports, well, none they of this would be happened. Sending track teams from New Jersey to Los Angeles.
But what, Ryan, what is the I'm case for UCLA?
I'm ashamed that you have forgotten the...
The Rose Bowl?
Yes, no, now more Big Ten teams play in the Rose Bowl.
The serious and grave commitment that the Big Ten has to academics. The Big Ten,
God.
Which includes such elite academic institutions. No,
they let Nebraska in. Sorry.
And Rutgers.
Rutgers is fine, actually.
Yeah.
Actually, yeah. Is Rutgers fine, officially? Because you're also missing the funniest angle of this entire story. Go and look up the current U.S. News & World Report public university rankings and look which conference just added one of the number one and two.
Well, I can tell you this because I can tell you, this is funny, I promise. The very first, I'm going to scroll down and grab the text that a Michigan booster of our acquaintance sent to me. And this person said, it's a screenshot from U.S. News & World Report. And says, when I heard the UCLA news, my first thought was, oh, fuck, we can't have a higher-ranked public university in the conference. Second text. That's the worst thought I've ever had, right? UCLA and Cal are 1 and 2 in that top public schools ranking, a thing that nobody cares about except people who are and aren't on it.
So, sorry, Ryan, but the Big Ten's here to win on and off the field.
Okay, I've heard this argument as well.
Come on, double dutch, Ryan, get in there.
Aren't USC and UCLA the two schools we immediately think of when we go back to the recent academic bribery scandal that was like 3 years ago?
That's so long ago.
Like,
that's
two main schools involved. That was all about athletics undermining academics via money. Yeah.
I think we all learned our lesson.
Yes, Lori Loughlin served her time, and therefore all is forgiven. She died so that she died so that Pac-12 sins could be forgiven.
Ryan, why wouldn't the Big Ten take academic scandals trumping athletics? Is there something about them that doesn't apply to? That's
right.
Been them for 130 years.
I just
my mom is going to the penitentiary.
What is
the papers to get me to USC?
what is there a case?
We'll make it better.
Is there a case for it? Because the other thing is like USC, it's like, okay, potentially we want to get Notre Dame, and Notre Dame is maybe going to be more interested if USC is already there because they can preserve rivalry, whatever. UCLA doesn't have – what is the UCLA rivalry that we were trying to reserve?
They're bringing along USC?
Yeah,
they're bringing along USC.
One with UCLA versus UCLA's own attendance.
Is the argument that USC and UCLA, one of them is usually good at any given point?
When is UCLA good? No.
They've had a few recent decent seasons.
Like, they've had a few 8-win seasons, yes.
Yeah, they finished like top 10 in the last decade at some point.
UCLA, I looked this up, I think UCLA has finished in the top 25 four times in the last 20 years.
Yeah, and those are probably roughly correlated to years when USC was really bad.
Oh my God.
Listen, I'm not the Big Ten commissioner here. I'm only saying that might be one
argument.
You sure
about that, buddy? Have you checked your email?
I just feel like they went with USC, and so that drew everybody's attention. They were like, also UCLA's on for the ride. Don't worry about it.
Yeah, with UCLA, you're adding a lot of banners and trophies and stuff. You're adding a lot of Big Ten legends, right? And like... You know, you have the best, all those basketball.
Oh, it's Jackie
banners.
Robinson. They're doing it for Jackie Robinson, to claim Jackie Robinson's legacy. God damn it!
Probably in part, yeah. And I mean, like, if you look at the list of like shit won by Pac-12 teams, it's like USC, 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 USC.
Sure.
And then and like every 10th one is UCLA, USC, USC, USC. So you have taken the Pac-12's entire football trophy case, except for Washington has half a title and Colorado has half a title that's probably headed to the Big 12.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Also, you know what? If you are the prime movers behind all of this, and the prime
Who,
movers
Ryan?
Behind all of this are,
yeah, it's me.
Two, Ryan, okay. Ryan is Fox Sports.
So I'm the Fox the Big Ten commissioner, and Ryan is the CEO of Fox Sports.
Right now, you are just throwing a gigantic sack of money, going, "Hey, maybe you should get an idea about LA."
Yeah.
I'm not saying just go get them. That's it. If you are Fox Sports. No network is more obsessed with the LA market than Fox Sports. None. Like none.
You did all this to appease Joel Klatt.
They put Petros on television on purpose.
The Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim are joining the Big Ten is what I'm hearing.
They are going to horn that foot into that shoe, right? Like they are going to make it happen. They are going to make the LA thing happen, right? Even if it is erratic, the numbers are so foolproof because it is such a huge market that this is classic spreadsheet thinking where they were like, acquire all LA's teams. They're like, well, we could get USC. They're like, acquire all.
is this
UCLA file found? Acquire. That's it. Like, this is the most algorithmic move because you go to these dipshits who don't even know what UCLA is, right? Mm-hmm. And you go like, hey, there's another school. They're like, go get it. Go get it. That's all it is.
Is this like, so every football league, for whatever reason, has been convinced there have to be multiple LA teams. The NFL has always wanted two NFL teams for no good reason.
The Clippers,
for no good reason.
The Clippers have existed in LA
for only
years.
The only NFL team that LA likes is no longer in LA. But, like, I guess the Big Ten thinks it's the NFL, and we need two NFL teams. I wonder if, on some level, this is the Big Ten had, like, a decades of insecurity about being the farm conference, and they're like, no, we're city boys now. We're city slickers. We're in New York-ish.
New York,
but
Chicago, LA. Yep.
We're in New York-ish, Chicago-ish, DC-ish. And people made fun of those. Oh, yeah? Well, we'll go in a city. We'll actually go inside a city.
The Big Ten, the conference of stand-up comedy.
No, they did just become the most please read my screenplay ass conference in the world. They totally just did, right? So it's about a Midwestern boy, and he moves to the big city and loses his innocence. It is the most Purdue writing a terrible screenplay to submit to USC move I have ever heard in my life.
So, U.S. cities by population, they now, quote unquote, have the top three. Number four, of course, Houston Cougars. I think you're getting the call up. Rice is an AAU. They could go. Add Rice.
Yeah.
Up next would
acquire
be Phoenix.
Rice.
Up next would be Phoenix. Rice. And like, if you want to have this coast to coast brand, you need something in a state next to California to make it make any sense at all. So Arizona State to the Big Ten. Yeah.
Not academics.
Of course.
Why? Yeah.
Why? What else would it be about?
Okay, so Spencer, you are saying the Big 12 is talking to both Arizona schools?
This is the train I wanted to talk about. Yes. The six teams, according to Dennis Dodd, include Arizona State, okay? Because, again, crabs in a bucket. if you try to take Arizona State without taking Arizona, they will drag you to hell. Some sort of horrible wormhole in Arizona politics is opened if you do not take Tucson with Tempe.
So they are going to do it. He's my brother.
Somebody would get killed. That's my guess. Like, legit, if that happened.
There's a lot of mine shafts down there.
It's a master blaster relationship. Can't have master without blaster.
Nope. Yes. And so you'd have to take both of those. Colorado, Oregon, Utah, and Washington. Those are the four schools in addition to the two Arizonas that would join the Big 12 to join what I think is a frankly kick-ass conference with the greatest, my favorite lineage in college football, which is not, no, old Rutgers-Princeton connection to the foundry. No, I care most about whether you were related to the Big 8, the most agricultural conference in the history of college football. This is definitely that. Plus, moving Colorado back to its prime spot in the Big 12, which now has like 28 members.
I love that the Big 12, they could just merge with the Pac-12, just bring in all their stuff. But they're like, no, we don't want Stanford around.
We're picking. we don't want those low lifes Wazoo in Stanford.
Yeah, it's like we don't want those nerds at Stanford. We're not. This isn't an academic enterprise. The Big 12 is honest. You see, we want UCF, not Stanford.
This is the episode of the show, by the way, where the preppy gets thrown in with the poor bully, right? They both get thrown in the same jail and they hash out their differences, right? Like, man, I didn't understand you. I didn't know what it was. Stanford and Wazoo were like, you know, respectful bros after that.
Stanford's gonna join the fucking Mountain West and be like third to last in attendance. Grim. While having like a $7 trillion endowment, and they have to play San Jose State on the road on Friday at 3 a.m.
Losing by 20 to Nevada.
David Shaw in his 18th year as head coach.
Like, I sympathize with Oregon State, and I sympathize with Wazoo. I do not sympathize with Stanford or Cal. Cal, you should have dropped football a decade ago. Everyone knows it.
I have seen a lot of Wazoo people be like, you know what? I'd be happier in the Mountain West anyway. Fuck them.
Hell yeah.
It's sort of the like, yeah, I want to live in a van. Like,
Wazoo joined the Big Sky. That would fucking rule. Wazoo in Oregon State, playing at Montana State. Let's do that.
Three times a year.
Hell yes.
Can't tell Oregon me either State. Of those schools wouldn't feel welcome at a place called Hellgate Canyon.
Stanford's going to try and join the Ivy League.
Stanford just getting absolutely cruised by UNLV.
Usually we have to wait for the Las Vegas Bowl for that to happen.
I UCLA Maryland is the most Sun Bowl game I've ever heard of.
So, that should be an option where you can unlock that game mid-season if it's going to happen, right? Like, would you like to play the Sun Bowl early?
Wait, so you're saying we should have unlockable games in real life?
Mm-hmm. Yes, I think love you this. Should. Like if you're both 3-3 at one point and it's not looking great, they're like, would you like to sim to Sun Bowl? This weekend.
This is like, there are a handful of schools that basically do this. It's like once they get to 7 wins, they're like, yep, we're already going. We're already going to the Independence Bowl. We're already playing in the Military Bowl.
Ticket punched.
Yep.
It's nice. Yeah, that's something to look forward to.
That's like how all the non-Notre Dame independents work, right? Like, yes. BYU is like 10-0, and they're like, Vegas Bowl clinched. And it's like, you could shoot, you could aim higher. Nope, got to start selling tickets.
UMass is like, we're 0-4 and we're declining a bowl just ahead of time. Just in case, don't get greedy. Yeah. Dance card is full.
When Notre Dame declined bowls despite getting invites, that's my favorite because the status conferred on your mediocre team is clearly indicated by the invites you're getting. Things like, hey, you guys can come on down to the Motor City Bowl anytime
you
wanted. No,
pass.
No, that's not us.
Notre Dame has diarrhea. Sorry.
I love that year in hindsight where they're like, no, this is beneath us. And it's like, well, subsequent years proved it wasn't.
All right, so Holly made me think of this by bringing up Syracuse. Where is the ACC in all of this?
Laying low.
Quietly in a worse place than the Pac-12 IMO.
Okay.
I think worse than the Big 12.
Worse than the Big 12.
Yeah, because the Big 12, they can stock the kitchen, apparently, with the Pac-12. Whereas the ACC, they're sitting on Clemson, which Clemson, FSU, Miami, etc. If the SEC wants to expand, what else are they going to do other than just eat the ACC? I think the good, and plus...
We have schools at home.
The Big Ten could always take UNC, Duke,
Virginia.
Yeah. And they poof. The ACC is Wake Forest now.
The ACC is quietly that guy. The ACC is that guy who's like, I did 20 in the military, got a pension, and I'm out. And suddenly, it's like, well, you know, maybe I should get another job. Except that their job is locked into. Let's see. When does this deal end? Oh yeah, they're locked in.
2036, I think. Also, they just got Notre Dame. They just got Notre Dame to agree to go to the dance with them as friends, and now Pac-12's crooking a finger.
But by the time this deal ends,
2036.
Some of the players they'll be recruiting by the time this deal ends are not born yet.
Mm-hmm. Oh, God.
Might end. Like, real high chance of the world ending. And the ACC is like, well, I got 3 years left in this deal.
Yeah,
the
ACC is like, finally, we're out of the deal. Let's hit the market. There is no market. The market ceased.
Just would standing you like on the shore watching the tsunami roll in like Tia Leone and her estranged dad.
That's so specific of a reference.
I know you get it.
I know. That's the problem. So it feels, the ACC feels to me like the group of criminals who have gotten together.
I thought you were going to say they're a group of 10 conference. Now.
I guess the movie trope is the criminals who have been put together for a job, but they don't really trust each other, and you're just waiting for them, one of them to like shoot the other. Like, it's just like, who will double cross when? And they all know it's going to happen. It's just a matter of like, when will it start and how?
They have so nowhere to go because they're,
When in recent memory do we have any evidence of that happening?
None. Zero.
Ryan, yes, Ryan, I did go through this whole initial news release without remembering that the Alliance was a thing.
Oh, God.
Did that whole thing come and go while we were on hiatus?
It didn't even last a year.
Yeah.
Also, it's Ryan even. Has described lacrosse reservoir dogs.
Yeah. Like, the only
Lax's
people...
death! Blam, blam, blam!
The only people who are even
you
in
can't
play
all
for
be
this.
Mr. Cerulean. God.
Mr. Sky Blue.
I'm Mr. Nantucket Red. Call me Mr. Nantucket Red.
I'm Cornflower.
Mr.
Stay
Old
out
Gold.
Of this periwinkle.
Georgia Tech's just like, I'm just happy to be in the heist. Just thrilled to be here.
Honestly, maybe based on what we said about him last week, the best thing that could happen for Georgia Tech would be for the ACC to fall apart, I think.
I mean, the Sun Belt's right there.
Georgia Tech's like, oh no, look at all this rubble. Oh, who's going to clean this up?
Oh no.
Join the Sun Belt. You can play all your games. You can walk to Georgia State. Mm-hmm. You'll save so much money on travel.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's more efficient. You're engineers. You like efficiency.
You'll undercut the rivalry with Georgia because, Georgia, so happy to be the Sun Belt team. Calm down.
They're scared. They're scared to play us now. Yeah.
Or just
soon there's going to be like 9 Georgia schools in the Sun Belt.
like they can't.
Divided into the Nats and not Nats divisions.
That's pretty good.
The Nat Belt Conference.
Actually, the Nat Belt divides it pretty evenly, doesn't it? Mm-hmm.
And the Nat Belt could be the conference trophy.
I've got the Nat Belt! Like a giant golden
yes,
Nat.
Yes, like an actual belt
there.
With little, like little jeweled antenna. I don't know mm-hmm. if Nats have antenna. Don't ask me.
For
our
do
purposes,
know.
They do.
I was picturing more of like a belt made of like the fly paper. With gnats all over.
Oh yeah. What if it is like you have become like you are Snow White cleaning the cottage and you are encircled by gnats. Gnats orbiting you. They're not biting you.
What if it's like a mobile that you can hang above the secretary's desk in your admin office?
If you have a halo of gnats.
That's why we got a pageant for Miss Gnat Belt. Miss Gnat Belt. This Friday. Girl most likely to draw flies.
So the
ACC... my talent portion. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I will be skinning a deer.
That's really close to what I was going to say.
I feel like the ACC's ceiling here is if, like, they can somehow hang on to their, like, grasp on, like, one of Notre Dame's hands, even though Notre Dame will just, like, shit money on the ACC in order to get out of that deal. But, like, mm-hmm. what else? Like, what do they get? West Virginia? Like, what? And, like, I know we love the pairing of Notre Dame and West Virginia for a million reasons, but, like, then what? Where else
Daddy.
Do you go?
Okay. TMU.
Sure, yeah. Fine, sure. Just anyone. Any warm body.
Any warm
they're
body.
They're going to end up with Liberty.
Once 2036 rolls around, and Morton Joe's going to make a bid for the rights, it's going to be great.
Drop the UConn and walk away!
Oh, God. after all of the grim shit we've said, that is what made me feel a little queasy. Things aren't that bad. I know we just said the world's ending in 2032, but let's not go to adding UConn grim.
Do not drink too deeply of the cheer wine.
I don't know, man. Bob Diaco's so handsome. He's got pageant face.
I don't even know where he is anymore.
Neither does Bob. It's fine.
We've lost contain. Bob is for the New Jersey Generals of the USFL.
Oh, God.
Sure.
He's home.
Jersey!
He's home.
Yeah, by the way,
it's
that
Robert
chair...
now.
Wait, is it?
Just saying that.
Robert okay. Diaco.
I would have believed Diaco. You without... For the record, if you had stuck to that, I would have believed you without question.
Roberto.
Bobby Diaco here.
Bobby Diaco's place.
Bobby D.
$31 million the Big Ten gets compares to the SEC's total, which should be about $44 million, although perhaps higher, around 50 in current payouts, which compares with the ACC's, which, again, locked in. Before I tell you what the sum total of what they get per year to give you an idea of the differential between the ACC's payouts and everyone else's in the major college football world, just remember, an annuity is an important thing to have financially, okay? Nothing compares to steady income. Sure, you could try yourselves on the open market, but where's that going to go? Might go up.
Who are you calling annuity, bud?
The Annuity Coastal Conference.
Coastal.
Guaranteed. Locked in. $17 million per school. So roughly half of what everyone else in what would be the major college football world is getting.
I mean, I think once like the Big Ten gets a new deal, it'll be like a third of the Power 2.
Uh-huh. It'll be a third. All right. Also, by the way, the recently expired Pac-12 deal would go, well, at least it's not the Pac-12 deal. They were getting $21 million.
And theirs expires more than a decade sooner.
Oh, yeah. No, 2024.
And that's boy, that's going to be a hot market for that.
Oregon State. Who wants Oregon State?
The Oregon State-Stanford media deal.
So here's my next question. When do we get to the part that hasn't, no, it's not never happened, but I can only think of one time it's happened, and it was under very certain circumstances. When do we get to the part where these conferences start kicking out the schools that they're like,
yeah,
we don't need you here. Yeah. We don't think you add enough value, and we would rather either keep more money for everybody else or open up a spot. The only time
I am waiting for the Big 12 to do that right now in favor of chasing, hang on to maybe Houston. And then go chase a bunch of other Pac-12 schools.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. We're like replacing BYU with Utah.
Because
that would put Utah in a power conference.
Do you know? You know, Utah is in a power conference.
Because every argument you could make for like why this wouldn't happen has just disappeared. Of like, well, tradition.
Yeah, nothing's like, off the table.
Right. So if you are Northwestern. Why would you feel confident that you will still be in this conference in 10 years?
And it's kind of disorienting,
isn't it? The Chicago market, Ryan.
I'm sorry, Chicago's college football team is Western Michigan. Established.
Yeah, that's true.
But I get what you're saying, Ryan. It's kind of disorienting because there's all this shit that we toss around for fun, and all of it is suddenly out there in the physical plane.
Yes, right.
As happening, and that's unsettling.
There are no laws. There are no gods.
We're not thinking enough like proper American executives, though. What we need to do in order to salvage the ACC here is we need to create value. And by create value, I mean gutting the payroll, reducing the amount of money paid out to each total, like not reducing the money amount of paid out total, but the people paid out too, to cut the payroll, okay, to increase our stock, right? By
I know you're going someplace really stupid with this, and I can't tell where.
So
finally, these fat cat Boston College CEOs will be brought to task.
Correct. What have they brought to the show? Okay.
Dudes.
What exactly do you do around here, Boston College? They're out. Okay. Wow. Duke University. You can say because we
anti Catholic streak continues.
turned against the Jesuits. No longer like space.
Yes. Georgia Tech gone. Go ahead, boot them out. Okay, uh-huh, you guys can go down to the Sun Belt. All right, for lack of performance, justifiably, if I went by the record and said, "Nope, sorry, you're not bringing enough to the
table."
It's
amazing
here, okay?
How many cuts Wake Forest has survived so far.
They're going to survive my cut as well. UVA, you've brought nothing
Holy
to the conference
shit.
Your entire time. We're going to go ahead and boot you out. Syracuse,
Wake Forest is thriving.
Same. Yeah, oh, there's no way we're kicking Wake out. Wake is the most
Damn.
ACC team. When they go, hey, Wait. We need to preserve brand identity, I'm like, we need Wake Forest.
Yeah.
We need a literal gated community of a campus.
I thought you were thinking like a bloodthirsty CEO. I think now this bloodthirsty CEO is a Wake Forest alum.
Oh, he's gonna drain all the money from Wake Forest. They just get to stay as a meaningless centerpiece.
Okay.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So they're like a chatelaine.
It's like Dave Clawson, you now make $75,000 a year and you have no recruiting budget. Make it work!
Corporate raiding Wake Forest and taking all their trees.
We're loading them up with debt, and then we are exiting with profit.
You're giving them all of Miami's debt.
Okay.
That's right.
I'm glad you see how this is going to work. The University of Louisville, gone. Absolutely gone.
How are you going to get really pizza?
And then we flip Wake Forest in an IPO as long as we can get them a $1 billion valuation. It's fine.
You're going to be left
I'm excited to start our business school.
You're going to be left with NC State, Wake Forest.
Condé Nast buys Wake Forest. It all works out.
Yes. Now, we have to keep Notre Dame as shadow partner. But again, remember, we're thinking corporate-wise, so we've already made them a subcontractor. They're
not
really on the payroll, right?
Notre Dame is the McKinsey in this example, where they're getting a lot of money to give us bad advice.
Exactly. They're like, in the budget, they're listed as essential vital consulting fees. Could never be cut.
$10 a day?
Daycare canceled, right?
I like that your first move was kicking out one of their rivals and one of their religious cohorts.
Yes.
They don't like competition on that front.
Right, exactly. Like, that guy? Which guy? Yeah, the guy up there on the poop deck. Which guy?
Notre Dame walks in and they're like, get rid of the team whose helmets are exactly like mine and they believe the same stuff we do and they're also a private school and they're basically just us with lobsters.
Also, dissolve the U.S. Navy. We're the ACC. We can't do that. Well, what does your name mean, then?
Suddenly kind of weirded out that Notre Dame is a brand and Boston College isn't. How did we let that happen?
Lies. Lies. Boston College, being honest, never lied about themselves. Notre Dame is built on lies as a football program and exaggeration.
Is it Notre Dame is already the most Boston college football team?
Wow.
If we're talking about lies and legends and shit, because all of Boston's pro teams are nothing but lies and myths and folklore.
Yep.
Yes.
So Boston College was always inherently Indiana.
Gotcha.
We got to get rid of two more to go ahead and have the payroll here. I think that's, again, this is a bloated payroll, gentlemen and ladies.
Consulting is fun.
Consulting is fun. We're going to, listen, I'm sorry.
Where
I'm
do
here
you guys
to trim
go
the
for
fat.
Lunch?
All right. And by trimming the fat, I mean telling. Speaking of fat, we're going to send Pittsburgh out.
What?
Wow.
Yeah.
You fool.
Wow.
A Big East imposter with a market that cares more about the NFL. If we wanted the Steelers,
okay,
we'd just go get
you
the
just,
Steelers.
You just said that, but you're keeping Miami.
If they were rich, they'd have their own stadium.
We're keeping Miami
for breakfast.
They save
we're
money. They don't have their own stadium.
We're
there's
keeping
no,
Miami.
There's no rent.
No.
Yeah. We're keeping Miami for tax shelter purposes. Please see the signs. Florida. In addition to that, I think we can finish it up. It would be deeply unfair to cut NC State because they are trying, because they have invested a lot of money in football.
And trying because, at what?
Yes, and because they've made such strides, which is exactly why I'm going to cut NC State, because we're going to keep you as – yes. Because, again, we're in the hands of the Chapel Hill Mafia, and any ACC fan listening to this would instantly agree with me. I have cut 7 teams from the ACC, instantly doubling the payout!
That's it. That's it. Look at that.
There we go.
All right. So Notre Dame –
it's the framed peanuts art on the wall behind you that is really – adding gravitas to this moment.
It shows that he's human as he calls the conference.
Hey, I got kids. I love kids. On toast.
Miami made me think of something completely unrelated. Eric Adams, the mayor of New York, is taking jet ski lessons, plural?
Yeah. What is there to learn?
Jet skis are probably the vehicle that we have decided as a society required the least amount of instruction necessary. To correct. A renter, to a purchaser, whatever. What kind of amazing scam is it to be like, yes, I charge the mayor of New York for jet ski lessons. I charge him $20,000 a day.
Didn't he lose all of his money by taking his paychecks in crypto?
I believe that also happened, and now the rest of it is going to jet ski instruction.
He's a weird guy.
I saw someone on Twitter who just quote tweeted some other stupid thing Eric Adams had done with, mayors just be out there doing things, which is true. Mayors are just out there doing stuff.
What are the instructions? Like, what do you tell somebody on a jet ski?
Broom?
Keep it in the water.
Yeah. Keep
you
it in
go
the water.
On this side of the water.
Keep it in the blue stuff.
Does New York have like an arcane list of jet ski rules, like taxi etiquette, that we just don't know about?
That's possible. Yes, there's no right on red in a jet ski in New York. I hope it's actually that it's just horse instruction, but just control F.
Jet ski dressage.
Jet ski. Yes, it's jet ski dressage. And it's like, okay, first thing you got to do is bond with your Kawasaki. All right? You two have to be at the same place. Your Kawasaki loves carrots and it loves sugar cubes, but you can't get too
many.
Don't
approach
sugar
it directly from the front or it'll get angry.
That's right.
Yeah, yeah.
If you don't groom your Kawasaki carefully, it's going to be cranky with you because it's going to get flies.
However, we do not accept Eric Adams as a horse girl.
No, absolutely.
No.
Absolutely not.
Nor Brony. He's out of both camps.
No.
Also, to whoever asked us if Eric Adams was the first full cast approved mayor, what on earth in the history of the show makes you think appearing on this show constitutes approval? Do you know how much we talk about Texas A&M? Are you new?
Texas A&M should do something flossy like buying the ACC foolishly.
Texas A&M already has done something flossy. Texas A&M has gone out here and been like, the gall of Alabama to accuse us of inducing recruitment through finance. How dare you suggest? And then there's video of an A&M assistant in the stadium being like, look at all these rich people who are going to give you money if you come here.
Jimbo's hair islands are looking real flossy.
I believe the context was even worse, Ryan. I think he said all of those people pay to see, you know, you play. So you better perform for
it. No, it was far more direct than that. Mm-mm. It was like, these people, if you come to A&M, these people are going to like provide for yes. It wasn't some sort of subtle mafia, like if you take care of, no, it was like very direct.
This is why they need to buy Arizona State University.
I think
University.
They call it straight.
Just buy it outright.
Yes.
Herm would sign those papers. He wouldn't even know what he was doing. Yeah, sure, whatever, sign it. Get out of my office.
I think the best thing about the Jimbo Saban thing is Jimbo managed to attempt this transmogrification of Saban saying A&M's paying players. And he managed to attempt to make it about A&M is doing crimes. No, we're not. No one said you were. You said you're paying players, and you are.
So good. You better not accuse us of crimes, because you don't have proof or a warrant.
Yeah,
and I never robbed a diaper bank either. Stop asking.
Jimbo invented a cop to be mad at and named that cop Nick Saban. And, like, Saban was right. You're real mad. That's cool. That's entertaining. But you're mad for no good reason. Speaking of A&M, I have a proposal that I think we can all walk away happy here, okay? It is clearer and clearer that there is a power two in college football. It's been the case for several years. And it's only becoming more and more so the Big Ten and the SEC. The Big Ten has things it, quote, fingers, cares about. We've mentioned those things. Things like academics, whatever the fuck that is. The Big Ten has told a lie for many decades about its interest in that substance. I'm not sure if it's a mineral or a natural resource or something that's dug out of the ground or something that's hunted, or I don't know what it is, but the Big Ten loves it.
You can find it's it in something. The gland. It's in whale glands. You have to get it out of whale glands.
Oh, that's why they're going more. That's why they're going more oceanic. Yeah.
You have to earn it on the seas where no man cheats fate.
So, seeing as 15 of 16 Big Ten schools are in the AAU. Sorry to say that on Scott Frost Day.
Let's is it just, Nebraska? Is it
yeah,
Nebraska?
Nebraska
thank you,
used to
for
be.
Cracking
but,
the code.
So the are thing is, the Nebraska.
Are they the dumb boys of the conference?
Well, let's look at it like this. Nebraska used to be really good, and now they're not. I know we don't have any other context in which that is true, but that is the case with academics. So the AAU. The Big Ten gets all those schools, okay? That's 65 schools. That's one big-ass conference, all right? You're picking up Arizona, okay? You're picking up Buffalo. That's a good value. You're picking up Cal. You want those West Coast academics. Colorado, Duke. You want Duke anyway. Florida's finally playing road games outside of the South. How about that? You're adding Georgia Tech's robotics programs.
It's a mistake.
You're adding Kansas basketball. This is going great for you.
Famous academic institution, Kansas basketball.
Yeah.
Listen,
you might say this sounds bad for the SEC because you're losing Florida, you're losing Texas, you're losing A&M, but I think you're getting rid of a lot of dead weight.
A&M is in the AAU?
Yeah, you're getting, well, meat science. You're getting rid of Vandy. Okay. You're getting rid of Vandy. Okay, that's good. You're getting rid of Mizzou. That's good.
Oh, finally.
And look
animals
at all that dead
are
weight.
Unbelievably you're get, delicious.
You're getting rid of dead. You're getting rid of dead weight. Vandy, Mizzou, and Texas. That's pretty good. Also, you're getting rid of Nick Saban's archenemy Jimbo Fisher, who's legally paying recruits. So, like, this is going great so far for both sides. Big Ten. You're also adding Virginia. Look at all this stuff that you kind of are eyeballing anyway. Pitt is now in the Big Ten. Penn State can't duck Pitt anymore.
Pitt's a better school than Nebraska.
That's what it says right here.
We've always said that.
That's what it says right
that's
here.
That's canon, yeah.
And, you know, Big Ten, you're adding the Ivy League, which is the conference that you tell lies about being. Meanwhile, the SEC has just ballooned to 98 schools, just in FBS alone. Plus, if the Big Ten is adding FCS schools, Ivy League, the SEC is now adding all of FCS D2, D3, except for, like, fucking Johns Hopkins and whatever. And the SEC now has the Big Ten kryptonite, which is North Dakota State. So whenever there's any sort of a battle between these two conferences, you just tell the Big Ten, shut the fuck up, or we'll send North Dakota State in. And the Big Ten backs down in fear, cowers.
Oh no!
Yeah, don't do that.
They're serious, Jordy.
So there, everyone's happy now. All the quote unquote smart schools get to like do an academic consortium or whatever the fuck, and all the football schools get to play football. Everyone's
nerds
happy.
Nerds versus jocks. You've said.
I love consorting.
Sure. And all these 7,000 SEC schools, they're all good schools. All schools are good. Except Liberty.
The only thing that ends up being confusing about this is that it's like Fox Sports, the home of the smart schools.
We got big brains. Look at the size of the brain on Cletus the robot.
We're visual learners.
The Kansas University basketball team medical school.
Our mom said we needed extra time on our tests.
I mean, Big Ten. If you're really about it, if you're, this is like you know academics. If this is some shit you really care about, why is Rice MIT not a Big Ten football game?
Oh
my God! Answer the question.
They can even change the name of the Big Ten to Learned League. Oh my God! It's right, Jesus.
Learners and legends.
This does get us closer to my dream of Alabama being required to play one Ivy League school every year in football in Tuscaloosa in September as an exhibition game, 5,000 degrees, and Alabama in the second quarter is up 56-0 on the future war criminals of the world of Yale.
I was going to say, the number of fans who might die in the stands may actually improve the American economy in the long-term aggregate.
So much, yeah, so dude. Much sunburn.
Oh my god!
Oh, I'm sorry. You got melanoma. You can't go raid the corporate. Pretend that had an end to that sentence.
Jason, I'm also assuming that in this case, the SEC keeps its name, which means at North Dakota State games, you're chanting SEC, SEC,
yes.
Right?
Okay, yes, gotcha, as North gotcha. Dakota State is obliterating Maryland or Iowa or
Texas A&M.
Texas A&M, once they become a Big Ten school, they are now useless against North Dakota State.
Right.
To your point, do you happen to – you've been there, Ryan. Would you like to tell us what city in North Dakota State is located in?
I don't remember this. I don't think I've been.
Oh, good. I can tell you. It's in Fargo. Yeah. Would you like to know what quadrant of North Dakota Fargo is located in?
Please tell me.
That would be the southeast.
Wow. The prophecy. It's being fulfilled. Yeah.
It's about a third of the. It's right on the eastern border with Minnesota, about a third of the way up the y-axis of the state there.
Yeah. And like. If you take all of America and you include Alaska, like just all that geography and run the math and whatever, all of this is the Southeast.
All of this reminds me of like when before the NFL did its most recent realignment, and they were like, I don't know, the Bucks play the Lions and the Packers, and that's who they're with.
Yeah, the Falcons are in the California Conference.
Yeah.
That's what the Big Ten is doing now. Yes. That's what the Big Ten is doing in real life. It is dumber than our made-up scenario.
You know what, Big Ten? Everyone loved it then, and they'll love it now.
Somebody pointed out that the Big Ten's map now looks like every pro sports league in 1955, like before there were any Atlanta teams, when it was all like Boston, D.C., L.A.
Dust! Just ride past the dust to get to California.
That was right now, what they have is they have my favorite trade-off, which is not unlike the trade-off that used to exist in the old NFC situation that you described, Ryan, where Tampa Bay, for instance, used to have this lovely trade-off. Green Bay fans would come down to Tampa in the dead of winter and experience sunshine and get vitamin D and get a little taste of what life could be like if they didn't live in Green Bay. And in return, Tampa Bay got to play in a driving blizzard and lose by 28. That was and get frostbite because they didn't have adequate clothing. Now what you get is you get a break where you get, Michigan can go to LA and they can play USC or UCLA and it's magnificent and it's warm and it's a great diversion. And I don't know, maybe we'll go to Universal Studios on Friday. It'll be crazy. And in return, USC gets to go play at Ann Arbor in late November.
Please make
where it gets dark at 1:30.
Yeah, please make Michigan USC the new game. Like make that the after Thanksgiving rivalry. Because like when we were in Ann Arbor for the last time, the most recent time that Michigan beat Ohio State, because Michigan always beats Ohio State. Like seconds after leaving the stadium, it was like holy. Fuck, this is the most depressing thing I've ever seen.
Creeping out in the gray, light with the taillights in front of us.
Yeah. It's like this couldn't be captured. I've seen, you know, lots of depressing...
Spencer had the window open, which you could probably tell by the noises he's making.
So, I didn't know this,
happy.
But Jason made me go and look it up. So, Nebraska was in the AAU until in 2011 it got kicked out. The first time in
Why?
Over 100 years. Just because it was basically like, yeah, you guys are not. Because like,
it had been a long time since Tommy Frazier.
You're not doing enough fancy school stuff. Mm. But one other school left voluntarily at the same time because they basically saw the writing on the wall.
Please tell me it was Florida State.
Iowa State.
Syracuse is basically like, we're good. We're fine. We don't need a final judgment here.
We don't even want your little club.
Just not coming back for the security deposit.
That's
it's
right.
Like, it's
Syracuse
like
you can't suspend my license if I tear it up right here in front of you.
like as the journalism profession is dwindling, Syracuse is like, shh, let's just sneak out while the focus is on Nebraska.
It's fine.
Really, I do also think Texas A&M really is just Purdue with confidence. That's really what they are. If Texas A&M, school wise, just think about it. If Purdue, you took all of Purdue and you moved it to Texas 100 years ago,
okay,
and you let it get confidence and sunshine, and you're like, why don't you wear some big boots and be real loud?
If Purdue got to punch the president in the stomach,
That's right.
Drum. Drum.
If Purdue, yeah, well, it, little culty.
Think of
right?
how much, like, how if the big, if the quote unquote big drum was from Texas, we'd all imagine it's bigger.
Oh my God!
Like we would all feel like it actually is a big drum.
I think it actually would be bigger in this
Wait,
case.
Purdue's culty?
I think it'd be like Big Tex lives inside this drum.
Yeah,
that's how big it is.
Like we would play along with the drum being slightly large if it was from Texas.
Oh, you're moving? Yeah, we're gonna go live in the arcology formerly known as the Texas A&M drum.
Two twin brothers separated at birth. One fed on Texan optimism and lunacy, given large stakes under the sunshine, right?
The other forced to sleep on concrete without lights.
Right in Indiana. Imagine, with no sunshine.
Imagine if we replace Miss Reveille with Purdue Pete and they're doing.
Purdue Pete came in our classroom and barked, and so everybody gets an A.
A&M is doing their 5 minutes hate midnight thing. Like they're screaming while grabbing their nutsacks, and they're screaming at Purdue Pete, who is just staring back.
I'm now imagining outside of Purdue Stadium a graveyard of Purdue Pete's.
Former Pete's. But
the headstones are just shaped like the head.
The graves aren't deep enough, so the top of Pete's head is sticking out.
Was
Purdue Pete the first minion?
Head sticking up like fucking Diglett. Here's the thing. The graves are all empty. The original Pete still walks among us. He cannot die.
Oh, shit.
They keep trying to kill him and crown a new Pete, and then the next day, he's back.
He repeats.
Assimilates.
Purdue repeat.
God damn it.
Sorry.
The repeater.
I'm just kidding. I've never been sorry in my life. I don't really know what it is.
Inside of you, there are two wolves. One is a fascist collie, and the other is a psychopathic handyman.
They are boyfriends.
Kiss.
Purdue Pete. Go to Texas.
Okay,
fulfill
your
destiny.
Right. No, you were right. They're exactly the same. Thank you for leading us down this path.
You know how there are shrimp, and some of them are big and bold and raised in the sea, and some of them are tiny and pale and live in caves? That's Purdue and Texas A&M.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to, or the succulents that adorn our homes, nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today and make the most of your summer with AllTrails.